From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on The Field Trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with the most interesting people in arts and entertainment in the San Francisco Bay Area and Marin County. I'll chat with artists, singers, actors, writers, directors, and musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area such a fun and fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. My guest today is a photographer, but not just any photographer. David Johnson has over half a century of experience and has the distinction of being Ansel Adams' first African-American student at the California School of Fine Arts, later to become the San Francisco Art Institute. Unlike Ansel Adams, Mr. Johnson found his landscape on the streets of San Francisco where he lived and produced invaluable collections of black and white images from 1946 to 1966 in the African-American section of San Francisco known as the Fillmore District. He's the subject of a new documentary film on his work called Positive Negatives, and I'm happy to welcome him to The Field Trip. David Johnson, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here.
Well, I'm very glad to have you here, sir. I know you originally came from Jacksonville, Florida.
That's correct.
How did you find San Francisco when you first came in the 1940s?
Well, that was an interesting experience coming to San Francisco. I had been to San Francisco for a short while. Let me correct that. I came first as a sailor in the Navy, and then I served in the Pacific Islands. But during that first tenure in San Francisco, prior to going to the Philippine Islands, I found San Francisco a fascinating city. And I remembered seeing that film about the earthquake and the Golden Gate Bridge, and I said, my goodness, is this heaven or am I just dreaming? Fascinating. Place to be. Fascinating.
And were you a photographer then?
No. I knew very little about photography. During my high school days in Jacksonville, Florida, I came upon a little camera. Not many kids in my neighborhood, which was basically black and poor, and I was the only guy around with a little camera. I found it fascinating. Now, how did I get this little camera? I was an avid reader of magazines or whatever I could get my hands on, because the household I lived in were people who really were illiterate and had little or no education. So this was my pastime, locating this little camera through a magazine that I had read. And the magazine ad said, if you can sell enough tickets, somebody wins a camera and you get a camera. So it sounds like a pretty good deal. So I won the camera, and I began to snap pictures around of my friends and family. And that was kind of the roots, the beginning for me.
And you went from there to taking pictures of people from Justice Thurgood Marshall to Nat King Cole and to Eartha Kitt. How did that happen?
It was a long journey. Back to 1944, while I'm still in high school, I had an opportunity to take a trip to Washington, D.C. I brought a little camera with me that I had purchased from a hawk shop, let's put it that way. Visiting my relatives in Jacksonville, they didn't pay much attention to Little Hick from Jacksonville, because they lived in Washington. I just heard that Washington was once called the Chocolate City. I heard that expression today. But anyway, that summer in Washington, D.C., I started taking photographs of the public buildings there, the Lincoln Memorial. And then I had another opportunity to go to New York for a weekend. And when I returned and showed my pictures to my class, I became the hero of the class. I brought photographs back to school of my travelogue, and people were kind of excited about that. So I started getting feedback. I couldn't process that feedback, though. The kids in my class, we were all about the same age, about 14 years old, so excited about these pictures. And why am I getting all this attention? There must be something in it for me. I didn't think it through that much, but that was kind of the beginning of my fascination with the black and white photograph. And that was kind of the beginning of my long-term career. I was going to be that. I didn't know what to call it. I didn't know you were called a photographer. Consider myself a picture taker. But that's kind of the beginning.
Well, I know that you were pretty involved in capturing the emotions of the civil rights movement during the 60s.
That's right. It seems that every major group in the United States, liberal groups who were interested in the civil rights struggle, sooner or later appeared in San Francisco. So in 1962 and 1963, there were two major marches in San Francisco. So I'm there taking pictures. This time I've got excellent skills. I know how to capture an image. And I knew what images that I was interested in, and as it turned out, other people were also interested in the same thing. Thus, I had a fairly decent number of photographs to share with my colleagues and later on even present them in shows. So that was really something that triggered my interest in national figures, and many of them were people in the civil rights movement. An example, it was Jackie Robinson, now retired, then retired, was in one of the parades there.
Well, I know that due to your love of music, you spent a lot of time in clubs and photographing some of the jazz greats of the era.
Absolutely. There was Nat King Cole. I had an opportunity to photograph him. Then there was Ruth Brown. I had an opportunity to photograph her. I photographed Eartha Kitt. People like that I photographed. The jazz scene was very much part of the Fillmore District in San Francisco. And as I mentioned in my film, if you wanted to hear jazz, you had to come to the Fillmore District. Because the clubs in San Francisco at that time, the big hotel clubs where the big bands played, but real jazz, get down jazz, jazz that the people wanted to hear, had to be heard in the Fillmore District. And that's where I took a number of great photographs.
Tell me about when you photographed Eartha Kitt. She was an exciting lady.
Eartha Kitt, she was appearing at the Current Theater down on Geary Street. And I went there to hear her. While she was in town, the newspaper called the Sun Reporter. The Sun Reporter was published by a gentleman named Carlton Goodlett. Carlton Goodlett was a physician. He also was a great civil rights leader. And he ran this newspaper. So I had an opportunity to work on staff of the newspaper. So when Eartha Kitt was in town, he decided to give a kind of reception as a reward for the kids who were delivers of the Sun Reporter. So I happened to be there to cover the event. Dr. Goodlett would run ads in the newspaper in exchange for my doing photographs for him. And there was Eartha Kitt appearing with all these kids at the reception. Later in life, now, I had another chance to photograph Eartha Kitt. Not too long ago, maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, when she appeared on California Street at the Masonic Hall, there was Eartha Kitt. What's interesting is she had not seen the photographs that I had taken previously of her. So I went to hear her concert. Lots of people were there. She sang for performed for maybe an hour and a half. And when the concert was over, I got in line and went backstage to see her. Initially, the her attendants said, "Oh, you can't see this kid." I said, "I think she'll see me," because I had 2 11x14 photographs of her. And I said, "I want to give her these photographs as a gift." So they let me go backstage to see her. And I said, "Miss Kitt, these are photographs I took years of you. And I came to present these pictures to you. But here's the deal. I have 2 sets of these photographs. If you will sign 1 set for me, I will give you the other set." She says, "No problem. I'd be happy to do it." What's interesting about that encounter with her is she was looking back years of her performing and looking different, of course. She'd gotten older, and I think she put a lot of value in those photographs. And later on, she wrote me a letter and said, "Thank you very much, Mr. Johnson, for the photographs that you made of me." And she became part of my collection, and I don't sell those photographs. Yeah, not for sale when I exhibit.
Well, it's a beautiful photograph. I saw it last night in the film Positive Negatives, that documentary about you. Let me ask you this. You've been in the Bay Area a long time. What is it that makes the Bay Area special for you?
It was, let me call it this, my second metamorphosis, I'll call it that way. I had never lived in a big city. I had never lived in a sophisticated city. I'd never lived in a city that inspired me to do things. From a young man, when I first saw San Francisco, it kind of did something to me. And a voice said to me, "Look, David, this is the place for your rebirth." And I listened to that message. I didn't know how it would take place, but it's been a great city for me. I lived there, my photographs are there, I went to school there, I learned what a French restaurant was like. I was able to enjoy some of the things at that time in my life that I could never have enjoyed in Jacksonville, Florida, even at the period of time later on in my life, because Jacksonville in Florida was still a rather segregated city in terms of where you live, where you work, where you didn't work. It just did something to me, and it inspired me then. And every time I go there, I revisit that feeling. It's just a kind of building, kind of a feeling that I had. And certainly living in San Francisco had a lot to do with my arrival and when I met Ansel Adams for the first time. And I had an opportunity to live in his house. Normally people of color were not living in Seacliff and places like that.
I lived there then.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. At the age of 84, you're trim, you're fit, you're in shape, you're still working, taking photographs. This documentary just came out about you. What's next for you? What are you doing?
Well, my goal now is to photograph historical black towns. For an example, I understand from my reading, doing a research, Brooklyn, New York, initially was simply a black community, and people left Brooklyn to work in other parts of New York. And the population was basically people of color. There may have been others, but black people there. There's Eatonville is another town that's in Florida. It was one of the first towns in the United States which had public figures, and that's where Zora Neale Hurston, dad, was the mayor of that town. So I want to look back, and I'm very much a student of history. I want to see what was the world like, and what was America like, what was the towns like. For example, I'm interested in Allensworth, first state park in the state of California, founded by a man named Allen Allensworth, who was a colonel in the Army. So these are kind of things that interest me now, that there's still some unfinished stories out there that I need to tell. I'm very much rooted in the whole historical involvement of black people, all people really, but particularly how black people came this far in a country which had its origins deep mired in slavery.
Well, yours is such a great story. I wish I had all afternoon to talk with you. All I can say is continued good luck, good health, good photography, and it's been my absolute pleasure to talk with you, Mr. Johnson.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. That's David Johnson, everybody. Thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin Sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at 4 p.m., on Comcast Channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends. If you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So until next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed the preceding Radio Sausalito presentation. You'll find more great jazz programming and podcasts updated every week online at radiosausalito.org.